From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant. AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome back to Ridiculous Romance.
I'm Diana.
I'm Eli.
How are you today, babe?
How am I today? Well, it's a rainy day here in Atlanta, which is whatever. I mean, you know, we've been having nice weather. Weather small talk. You know what? I like it. I'm conditioned to think weather small talk is bad because we always kind of laugh about it. Mm-hmm. But it's a universal experience that we can all relate to.
Well, and if you think about it.
Yeah, I will.
In history.
Uh-huh.
It was like the number one most important thing to know.
Oh, true.
It's like if you think about like farmers in the 1600s, weather was actually an incredibly important topic.
Yeah.
And so you come in and be like, how long you think this snow is going to last? Don't like the look of that sky.
Yeah.
Hope this sun keeps coming up.
Yeah.
But we could use some rain. I mean, you know what I mean?
We need the rain.
Now
right.
It seems silly because we have climate control. But
climate control. The climate's never been more out of
the
control.
Climate. I just mean air conditioning.
No, I know.
But,
yeah. But I hope we're moving away from it.
You know what else we should move away from?
Yeah, this conversation.
That's right. So we can move towards our episode today.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we told y'all in part one all about Robert Dudley, Lord Robert Dudley, and Queen Elizabeth I's long history together, and the murder mystery surrounding Robert's wife, Amy Robsart, which, of course, we decided was obviously the fault of the ghost of Bloody Mary I.
100%.
Amy clearly went into the bathroom in the dark.
Yeah.
Like a fool.
Yes,
and
like
looked
a
in
fool.
The mirror. And looked in the mirror.
Many a lady has met the same fate.
Was very happy we got a new review where someone was telling me that they also are very scared of Bloody Marys.
Yes.
Still, even years later.
Yeah.
So it makes me feel a little bit better about my silly paranoia. Well, anyway, the aftermath of all that Amy Robsart stuff is just as interesting. There's really clearly never a dull day in Queen Elizabeth's court.
Go figure.
Robert had several interesting lady loves and legal troubles in his future. Elizabeth had some fun suitors herself. It's basically Tudor Tinder around there.
Wow.
Plus, there's so many wild theories about the Virgin Queen to cover as well. So let's find out how it all played out with our star-crossed lovers.
Yeah, let's go.
Hey there, friends, come listen well. Eli and Diana got some stories to tell. There's no matchmaking or romantic tips. It's just about ridiculous relationships. A lover might be any type of person at all. An abstract concept or a concrete wall. But if there's a story worth a second glance, we'll put it in our show Ridiculous Romance.
A production of iHeartRadio.
Okay, so as we said at the end of part one, with the death of Amy Robsart, Lord Robert and Queen Elizabeth were free to marry.
Finally, my wife is dead.
Now I can be happy, you know. But they could not get married without destabilizing Elizabeth's reign too much and possibly fomenting a rebellion against her because of all the scandal about whether or not they had murdered this lady and stuff.
Right. It basically would have looked like they absolutely did if they went and got married immediately after.
Uh-huh. Or any time like after. Admitting to it or something. But even so, they simply could not stop flirting and causing gossip because they just were so into each other.
Right.
And in 1561, Elizabeth was bedridden with a swelling sickness, as they called it, made her body swell. So conspiracy theories immediately sprang up saying that she's not sick. She's actually pregnant with Robert's child.
Oh, my goodness.
And we're going to get more into that later. So don't forget that.
Yeah, I mean, like, swelling sickness. Come on. I mean, I get that every time we go out for Mexican food. Am I right?
I mean, it could have been dropsy or something.
Sure.
Or maybe she ate too much. She's like, I got gas.
Wait, do people get dropsy? I've only ever dealt with it in the fish tank.
People do get dropsy.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And you see if you see pictures of it, it's insane how big they swell up.
Yeah.
Like, their feet look insane.
Whoa.
Or their hands or whatever. It looks really crazy.
Really sad when it happens to fish. I didn't know it happened to people. Well, the more you know.
The more you know.
The less you want to know.
Well, yeah, the less you want. That's so true. So, yeah, at any rate, all of this scandal around them just refused to die. It's not matter how many years went by. You know what I mean? People were just always willing to believe that the two of them were up to something.
Yeah.
So as a result, matchmaking started anew for both Elizabeth and Lord Robert.
Okay.
For years, the royal council kept encouraging Robert to give up on marrying Elizabeth by suggesting various foreign princesses as his bride, as like a consolation prize for the queen, I guess. So like, just marry this Swedish lady or whatever.
Yeah, in fact, Elizabeth herself proposed that Robert marry Mary Queen of Scots. She went to Mary Queen of Scots and was like, hey, if you marry Robert, I'll make you my heir. And this would, of course, unify Scotland and England, and it would neutralize one of Elizabeth's greatest rivals.
Sure.
So she said...
Smart move.
Absolutely. And she said she could do this on just one condition. Mary would have to come live in Elizabeth's court so that she could keep Robert, her favorite courtier, by her side, as she always liked to have.
I love it. She's like, marry this guy and then come live with me so I can keep flirting with your husband.
Right? It's like when I see an adorable dog that needs an adoption and I try to go get my best friend to adopt the dog so that I can still hang out with
go
the dog.
Visit it. Yeah, yeah, but I don't have to take care of it.
Total same energy.
Perfect.
Mary, Queen of Scots, please come adopt sweet little Robert. Look at his little tail wagging. He's so cute and I just want to scratch his head, but I don't want to have to feed him. So Elizabeth went ahead and made Robert the Earl of Leicester and gave him a bunch of land in 1563 so that he would be a more acceptable husband to Mary. Mm-hmm. And Mary actually seemed like she might kind of go for it. But there was one little hiccup in this plan, and that's that Robert was like, no, I'm not marrying Mary, Queen of Scots. He unequivocally refused to marry this woman. He was dead set against it, at least partly because he was still holding on to hope that he might one day get to marry Queen Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. So instead of going along with her plan, he went and helped a guy named Henry Stuart, Lord Darnley, win Mary, Queen of Scots' hand, which eventually Lord Darnley did. Which, I mean, would be, it sounds like a classic rom-com setup.
Yes, it does.
Like, you're going to have to marry this woman. Oh, yeah? Not if she falls in love with my friend who just came to town first.
That's right, except this turned out to be a really ill-fated match.
Well, yeah. A rom-com with a really dark sequel.
Yeah. But, you know, Robert was not just, like, pining away in his celibate bedroom or anything like that, waiting for the queen, okay?
Okay.
He's a real handsome. Women loved him.
Sure.
So he's flirting with several ladies in the court, including Elizabeth's cousin, Lettice Knowles, who is the Countess of Essex. And she was...
Her name is spelled L-E-T-T-I-C-E, so it's Lettice.
The one Lettice Knowles.
It's Lettice, and I could not stop reading it as Lettice the whole time we're going through this. So, but anyway, it's Lettice, apparently.
Lettice Knowles. She was the Countess of Essex, and she was Elizabeth's most beautiful lady-in-waiting. But in 1568, Robert Dudley started having an affair with a different lady-in-waiting. Her name was Douglas Sheffield, and
oh
she
God.
Was newly widowed.
Okay, Douglas.
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 The last Douglas.
So anyway, Robert and Douglas were together for several years. Douglas even gave birth to Robert's illegitimate son, who was also named Robert in 1574.
They only had five names to choose from.
Seriously, you had to like spin the wheel or something. Now, Douglas was getting a lot of marriage proposals, but she was waiting for one from Robert.
Sure.
She's like, all these dudes want to marry me, but I only want one man.
I only had a son with one of them.
I know, right? But this proposal never came.
Mm.
And Robert explained to her in a letter he wrote her where he was just encouraging her to marry someone else.
Ah.
And he told her, you know, I know it's really strange of me to threaten my own family name and household by not getting married and having legitimate children and heirs, you know, for my property and everything. But he said he could not do it because, quote, if I should marry, I am sure never to have the queen's favor.
Mm.
So he just knew that the jealousy of Elizabeth was going to be real crazy for him.
Right. Because Elizabeth was not, she would not marry him, but she was kind of not happy about him flirting with anybody else.
No.
A little bit of a trap. But Robert was also getting a little tired of waiting for Elizabeth to make up her mind about whether or not she'd take him in or not. As he said, he had no opportunity to build up his own family while he was waiting in the wings for the queen. So in 1575, Robert decided to go for it. He threw a huge 19-day long festival at his castle, Kenilworth, which he was building up as a, quote, wonder house for Her Majesty.
And I love a historical party. So, of course,
absolutely,
we had to include all these details.
Oh, yeah. This party had a lady of the lake, like some, I guess, some woman dressed up holding a sword in the water.
Yeah, she's swimming around.
They had a swimming paper mache dolphin that had a little orchestra in its belly plan. Mm-hmm. They had fireworks that were said to be heard 20 miles away. Of course, they were holding hunts. We're all going to get together, go out and find some foxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had entertainment that was popular at the time, like bear baiting. Good, which always makes for a fun party.
Oh, so fun. I love to make a bear really mad.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
And then, of course, the scenery was spectacular. Brought all the best decorators out. He had a artificial lake and castle. He also had a Renaissance garden. And EnglishHeritage.com says that when Queen Elizabeth complained that she could not see this garden from her lodgings in the estate, Robert's gardeners worked all night to create a little pop-up version of it right under her window.
Wow.
Pulled out all the stops.
Now that's VIP stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, this was the longest Queen Elizabeth had ever stayed at one of her courtiers' houses. And the final entertainment was to be this masquerade where actors would have been commissioned to urge Elizabeth to marry their generous host, Lord Robert Dudley. But the mask was rained out. And even though one of these actors was like, I got a job, I'm going to do it. And he ran after Elizabeth in the rain, pleading for her to wait and stay and talk to Robert, but she refused to do it, and she rode off.
Ugh.
Party's over. I'm out of here. I've been here 19 days.
Uh-huh.
Don't know if you heard, but I'm a queen, and I got work to do.
It's true. So this had been Robert's most ostentatious proposal, and it came to nothing.
Oops.
Now, some historians believe that as much as this party was a proposal to Elizabeth, it was also kind of a request to let Robert marry somebody else.
Right.
He's kind of like, this is my final thing. It's your final answer. And
yeah.
Now we're good, right? Like, we know it's all good.
Yeah.
And that might be because Robert had a certain lady in mind to be the next Mrs. Dudley. Because 10 years before, as we mentioned, he had flirted with Lettice Knowles. Lettuce.
You know, I've flirted with lettuce a few times myself, too. But I end up going for French fries.
She's just not satisfied.
Every time.
And Lettice was married to the Earl of Essex at the time. And now, of course, since it's Robert Dudley, he could not do anything without the rumor mill kicking into gear. And they started saying that Lettice had two children with Robert, but had aborted one of them to prevent her husband finding out about the affair.
What? Just one?
Just one, yeah. The other one, they're like, she's just lying to him.
Or she's like,
it's his
Lettice, you've had one child that I don't know how you had him, but a second one and I'm going to start to get suspicious.
Too much. Now, again, zero evidence for any of this, okay? He
okay.
just flirted with her and everybody ran with it.
It's almost like they had nothing to do back then but gossip.
True, very true. Then, when Lettice's husband, the Earl of Essex, died in 1576, the rumor mill said that Robert Dudley had poisoned him so he could marry Lettice. Never mind that the Earl of Essex was in Ireland at the time trying to colonize it and definitely died of dysentery during an epidemic.
Oh, yeah.
So there's like no way that Robert had anything to do with his death.
Right. But one thing that the gossips did get right was that Robert and Lettice were in love.
Wow.
HistoryExtra.com says that Robert had flirted with Lettice back in 1565 deliberately to fan the queen's jealousy and get her to finally marry him. So, you know, don't you hate it seeing me hang out with this girl? Well, you can lock it down if you want.
She's so beautiful and she's into me.
Mm-hmm. But when the widowed Lettice visited Kenilworth in 1577, her and Robert's feelings for each other grew so intense that even knowing how much the queen would dislike it, they went ahead and started planning their wedding. And that meant that Robert would have to formally end things with his baby mama, Douglas Sheffield.
Oh.
So, you know, I've been telling you I'm not going to marry you, but we actually really, I'm trying to get serious with somebody else.
And now I'm going to marry someone else.
Right.
It is a little, I do imagine that Douglas had a bit of a moment of, huh, because he's like, I can't marry you or else the queen will get mad at me.
Right.
But I am going to marry this other lady, even if the queen gets mad at
Whoops.
Me. So I feel like there's no way to read that other than you didn't want to marry me specifically.
Yeah. Well, they did come to an amicable agreement about the young little Robert Sheffield Jr., his custody. He stayed in Robert Dudley's houses. He was extremely well-educated, and he had permission to go see his mother whenever she wanted to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And Douglas herself remarried in 1579 to Sir Edward Stafford. So everything turned out all right for Lady Douglas.
That's right, yeah. So it was all clear for Robert and Lettice's wedding, which took place in September 1578. Now, some accounts say that Lettice was pregnant with Robert's child at the time, but kind of the only proof for this is that she wore a loose-fitting gown to get married in.
All right.
Otherwise, there's no historical evidence for a child at all.
It's historical evidence to me that she wanted to be comfortable.
That's what I said. Also, their wedding date coincided with the end of the traditional two-year mourning period for widows, and they had planned it for over a year. So this was like no shotgun affair where he knocked her up and he had to get married or something.
Yeah.
But only the bride's parents and the groom's brother Ambrose were present at the ceremony, and everybody was sworn to secrecy because they were all just so afraid of what the queen would do when she found out that her boy toy was married.
Oof.
Which, unfortunately, did not take very long.
Of course.
A French ambassador reported on their marriage only 2 months after it, and then Elizabeth was told a few months after that. And her reaction was immediate.
Oh, man.
She was, like, incandescent with rage.
Right.
She even ordered Robert thrown into the Tower of London.
Oh.
She was not going to imprison him.
Oh, my God.
But the new Earl of Essex, who is Lettice's son and Robert's stepson, Robert Devereux, another Robert, sorry, guys, he intervened and convinced Elizabeth that that was a bad move.
Right.
He's like, honey, you can't just be throwing people into jail for getting married. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, not to mention, I think it says something publicly about y'all's relationship if
I'm
you're
sure that
this reactive.
That's right.
But I see, I could see her upset, you know, more than just being in love with him, but like, he also, like, is her best friend since they were kids, and he didn't tell her he got married.
I mean,
you know, that's probably
but
a factor as well. I'm just saying it's part of it. It's not like that's why she got married instead of her love for him, but I just think that that didn't help.
No, I agree. I would just say she needs to look inward because it's her.
Right.
He's not. He probably did want to tell her,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But she's too crazy.
Yeah.
So Robert did not get thrown in prison, but he did have to leave court in disgrace.
Damn. Meanwhile, Lettice was called to court to bear the brunt of Elizabeth's wrath. Elizabeth raged at her, calling her a she-wolf and a flouting wench, and she boxed her ears before finally banishing her from court for life.
Jeez.
Yeah, just cruel. And Lettice had to retire to the Dudley's country house, and she stayed there for years. And she still called herself the Countess of Essex, and she lived as discreetly as she could. But in 1581, she gave birth to Robert's son, another Robert, called Lord Denby. And they moved permanently to the Dudley's house in London. And that made the queen mad all over again.
I guess it was like, you're flaunting her in my face now.
Yeah.
You know, I got to look at her sometimes.
Now, Lettice's social life was severely curtailed because everyone knew the queen hated her guts. So you didn't want to get seen hanging out with the Queen's number one enemy. Every time she did anything, Elizabeth would get angry. One time, Queen Elizabeth became furious because she heard Lettice was planning to join Robert in the Netherlands with a procession of people and carriages even bigger than the Queen's. And it turns out none of that was true. Lettice wasn't planning to go to the Netherlands at all. But this poor girl really could not lift a finger without pissing off the Queen. And this lasted for the rest of Elizabeth's life.
Ugh.
Sucks. Not the kind of person you want to be constantly looking at everything you do and easily mad about it.
Not really.
She's like, I think I'll just make a sandwich today. And then a royal proclamation just announced from the Queen. All women who make sandwiches suck.
Stupid and ugly.
Yeah.
I don't know, but she sacrificed a lot to be with Robert, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know that she expected this, but they definitely expected to not be her favorite.
I mean, even this thing with the Netherlands, like, even stuff that she doesn't do, she's incurring her wrath about.
Right. Which I'm sure there was some, like, you know, court shenanigans where some courtier's like, I want her to be mad at Robert, so let me tell her about Lettice doing something.
Yeah, it's like when someone has a dream about you and they're mad at you for it. You're like, but I didn't do it. And you're like, well, I don't care. I need a minute before I'm okay with you.
But even though Queen Liz was equally pissed off at Robert for getting married, she only showed him a cold shoulder for a few months before welcoming him back to the fold and all his responsibilities at court.
Sure, that's bestie.
So that's bestie, exactly. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm just going to put all my anger on the wife.
Mm-hmm.
But this was actually pretty important because Elizabeth was in serious negotiations to finally marry somebody in 1575. And that was Francois, the Duke of Anjou. Mm. And we will tell you all about that right after these royal proclamations.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hear ye, welcome back to the show.
that guy's
done with his job as the royal crier.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I'm ready to retire.
Yeah.
So Queen Elizabeth and Francois, the Duke of Anjou, were actually a whole episode suggestion from a listener named Daniel Fields through email. So thank you, Daniel. Since we were doing all this Queen Elizabeth stuff, we decided to throw it into this episode. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that you told us about him. Now, we already know, we were talking in part one and this episode, that Elizabeth, you know, is being courted from near and far. She's a queen. Okay, people want to marry her. When she ascended the throne, she had publicly declared that she would never marry and that she would remain a virgin for her whole life. But no one really believed her. Mm. You know, they're like, you're a young woman, you're Queen of England. You're going to get married and have some babies. But as she got older, the people of England revered her more and more for her virginity, which to me makes it a lot harder for her to choose to get married. I feel like if you have this whole cult of personality about something about you, it's really hard to like not have that thing anymore.
Yeah.
But honestly, really, the main thing was that Elizabeth knew if she got married, her husband was in charge, queen or no queen. You know, he would own all her money, all her stuff, all her children, and all her body. And she knew what that meant. He could cut her damn head off if he wanted to.
She's like, yeah, daddy did it several times.
Okay, she's like fully traumatized from her growing up in King Henry's house, okay?
Yeah, if Henry VIII's your dad, you have a different outlook on marriage than the rest of us.
Divorce, all of it. You're like, I don't know.
But this guy Francois was a serious contender, largely because his name was Francois. That's the most romantic name you can have. Elizabeth was 46 years old at this point, and she knew her time to get married was running out. Francois might be her last suitor. Some of her favorite courtiers, including Robert Dudley and Sir Francis Walsingham, opposed the marriage to Francois because Francois was French, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth, of course, wasn't very likely to have any children at this point, so if she died while married to him, which was definitely possible because Francois was nearly half her age at 24.
That's right.
England would fall under French control. All of a sudden we're a different country now.
Not into that.
And Francois also was Catholic. And if you remember part one, getting Elizabeth on the throne to begin with was this whole Catholic Protestant mess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Walsingham was able to point out to Elizabeth that the French Catholics, under the orders of Francois's own mother, Catherine de Medici, had just murdered a bunch of Protestant Huguenots in the St. Bartholomew's Day massacre after the French king's Catholic sister married a Protestant in 1572. Mm. So he's like, that's what happened if the French king's sister married a Protestant. If Francois here marries a Protestant, i.e. you, Queen Elizabeth, they're going to pop off. They're going to act real crazy and do something nuts.
Yeah.
You know?
He might be worried, too, about English Protestants, like, popping off, too,
also
being
mad.
Catholics. He's like, either way, it's a bad situation.
Nobody's happy when the Catholics and the Protestants get together in 16th century England.
But Elizabeth seems to have been truly fond of Francois. He had been scarred by smallpox as a young child. He was also short with kind of a curved spine.
Oh.
So, you know, he was described to her as being, quote, amazingly ugly.
Oh.
Which is so rude.
Heads up, girl. You're about to meet a guy, and I don't want you to flinch.
Want you to freak out, but he's fucking crazy looking. But she said that he appeared handsome to her.
Oh.
But mainly, I think the attraction seems to be that he was just very witty and intelligent, and he was really capable of keeping up with her in conversation.
Oh,
he didn't have a lot of pretension about him.
Probably rare, yeah.
Right. So they really got along, you know, on a personality level.
Good.
He gave her a frog-shaped earring that she wore all the time, and she called him, as affectionate nicknames, either Monsieur or her frog.
Oh.
No one is sure if the frog one is because of the earring or because frog was a derogatory term for French people at the time.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, I guess she was like trying to be funny.
Because of all the hopping.
Because of the hopping?
And the flies.
I know. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Why is
frog? I don't know where that came from.
Anyway, and it must be said that Elizabeth did like a little play acting. She loved to get melodramatic, and she was very contradictory. She loved to fuck with people also.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes she would, like, one day, you know, they'd be like, don't marry Francois. And she'd be like, oh, but he is my one true love. How could you? You know, and like run off. And then another day they'd be like, fine, you can marry him. She'd be like, ugh, I would never. You know what I mean?
Wow.
She was just always.
Oh my God. The most difficult person in the world.
She's so crazy. And of course, we already know that she was, you know, kind of messing with all her past suitors as well. The other foreign princes, she was kind of playing around pretending to be interested in them, but she sort of used it as like foreign policy stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is pretty similar because over the 6 years that she and Francois were courting, Elizabeth was able to create a strong alliance with France and make friends with the Queen Mother, Catherine de Medici. And then when she decided not to marry Francois, it was partly due to how much the English people would really hate having a French Catholic king, but it was also because the French were about to get into it with the Dutch.
Oh.
And by adroitly kind of extricating herself from an engagement, Elizabeth managed to avoid England getting involved with this Dutch-French problem.
Man. God, those wars back then. It was just driving me so crazy.
Oh, sorry, honey. I'm off to fight in a war against the Dutch.
Oh, no. Why are we at war with the Dutch?
I don't know. Some lady married a guy, and now we're all... I have to go die in battle.
Now we all have spears through our eyes. So, anyway, she might have just been kind of using this engagement for foreign policy reasons.
Yeah.
But she did have enough affection for Francois to write him a poem when their courtship officially ended in 1581. So let's go down to Poetry Corner and hear Queen Elizabeth I's poem on Monsieur's departure.
I grieve and dare not show my discontent. I love and yet am forced to seem to hate. I do, yet dare not say I ever meant. I seem stark mute, but inwardly do prate. I am and not. I freeze and yet am burned, since from myself another self I turned.
My care is like my shadow in the sun, follows me flying, flies when I pursue it, stands and lies by me, doth what I have done. His too familiar care doth make me rue it. No means I find to rid him from my breast, till by the end of things it be suppressed.
Some gentler passions slide into my mind, for I am soft and made of melting snow. Or be more cruel, love, and so be kind. Let me float or sink, be high or low. Or let me live with some more sweet content. Or die and so forget what love e'er meant.
Oh, she's really stuck in the middle here.
Yeah, I like this poem because it kind of shows her sort of contradictory nature.
Right.
Like she clearly feels an internal thing. It's not just external forces.
Right.
But she has internal contradictions.
Right.
Also external contradictions. So it's kind of a cool, like, tug of war poem.
Yeah, exactly. Why am I so stuck feeling, you know, this way and that way? Why can't I just either get what I want or not have it?
Yeah. I also love, I seem stark mute, but inwardly do prate. And she's like, I'm not saying a word, but inside the shit that I'm saying.
I mean, story of my life.
I hear.
Right.
I know, right.
So Elizabeth stayed single, and Robert was married to Lettice, who Elizabeth still hated.
Mm-hmm.
And even when Robert and Lettice's three-year-old son died suddenly in 1584, Elizabeth could not bring herself to forgive Lettice.
Right.
But she was still very close with Robert himself, and in fact, he became Lord Steward in 1587, which meant he was basically in charge of the palace, like all the food, all the sanitization, just everything, like, you know, non-judicial,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Not legislative. Yeah. He's in charge of the maintaining the whole palace.
Yeah.
Fun fact, this sanitization issue actually in the palace was so bad that Robert Dudley sat down and had a conversation about it with Elizabeth's godson, John Harrington, who was then inspired to invent the first flush toilet.
I had no idea it dated back that far.
Is that why we call them Johns?
Some people say that, but there's no evidence for that.
Right.
But I think it is.
Why not?
John apparently is like American. So they're like, the Americans didn't know anything about no John Harrington.
Well, maybe Americans learned that. We're like, why aren't we naming it after that
John.
Guy? He did
a great job. What's funny, too, is that he invented the flush toilet, but what he didn't have was the U-bend in the pipes
that we
have now, so you couldn't avoid the odor.
Ooh.
So that was what, but it's so interesting that it dates back that far.
Yeah.
I really had no idea.
I guess a flush and a stink is better than no flush
no
at all.
No flush, just letting it sit there.
That was one of Aesop's fables, I think, right?
a flush and a stink
is better than no flush.
That's the moral of the story today.
Okay, but the real headline here is about a whole other guy entirely. Someone who was shipwrecked and rescued by the Spanish. They detained him because they thought he was an English spy. So they took him to Madrid, where he claimed that he was none other than Arthur Dudley, the secret love child of Robert Dudley and Queen Elizabeth I.
What?
He told King Philip's secretary, who interrogated him, that Elizabeth's governess, Cat Ashley, had given him as a baby to her servant, who raised him 60 miles outside of London as a gentleman. But on the servant's deathbed, he confessed to Arthur about his royal origins.
My boy, your whole life I never told you. You're the heir to the throne of England. Gotta go, but have fun with that.
Arthur, of course, was terrified for his life if that secret came out. Who was the kid in Game of Thrones?
I know, I was thinking about him too. What's his
Baratheon
name? Yeah, one of them.
But wait, it's not Renly. Richard. Boris.
I don't know.
Craig. Philip. I'm going to say every name. Just let me know when I hit it.
I don't know.
Samuel. Jennifer.
Yep, it's Jennifer.
All right, Jennifer Baratheon.
Good job.
Thank you. So Arthur is scared for his life. Obviously, this if the secret comes out, they would definitely like lock him up or something worse. Mm-hmm. So he traveled to Spain. But then there he got shipwrecked, captured, et cetera, et cetera. Right. Here we are.
Which this is a very simplified version of his story. His story was incredibly convoluted. He talked about several people that he could name that were in the court, that were Sir Robert Dudley, or that were Lord Robert Dudley's like members of his household or his servants or whatever. And his birthday, he did say, was 1561, which would have coincided when Elizabeth had her swelling sickness.
Oh, my goodness.
So there was something, you know, there was some details that seemed very plausible. And then some other things were like, huh, you know, it's a little convoluted. So it's a real, very convoluted story he gave them.
I'm kind of seeing the opening of Thor Ragnarok, sort of. But like, it's this Arthur Dudley character in the chair being interrogated by the Spanish.
Right.
And he turns to the camera and he's like, I bet you're wondering how I got here.
Let me take it back.
Take you back.
Well, Arthur's story, despite some of these exciting details or whatever, did not really impress King Philip's secretary or anyone else in Spain. Ah. The king's secretary who examined him, he told Philip, you know, I think Arthur's a spy, or if he's not a spy, the queen and her court are using him in some type of way to benefit them. Like, they're just super paranoid about what Elizabeth's up to. Mm-hmm. So he's like, let's just keep this guy under lock and key and prevent him from escaping just in case he's a spy.
Sure.
And after that, Arthur was never heard from again.
Oh.
We still don't know what happened to him.
Why?
He could have perished in a Spanish prison, or maybe he really was a spy working for Sir Francis Walsingham, and he eventually escaped and resumed his real identity. Mm. And so there never was an Arthur Dudley to trace.
Okay, okay.
Now, again, historians are also extremely skeptical that he was Elizabeth's illegitimate child. They largely agree that she was just too closely watched to hide a whole pregnancy.
Right.
And once she went to labor, there's just no way that all the ladies in waiting, courtiers, doctors, servants, midwives, whatever, that would have been called to help her out, would have been able to keep that secret to themselves for very long.
Right.
This would have been the most sellable secret right. in the land.
Right.
At the time.
And they're like, look, we all know that the downstairs workers are the most gossipy people
all
in
right.
the palace.
Okay. And if someone offered them the right amount of money, you know. So it's pretty unlikely. And I kind of agree. I think it at all points to Arthur being a spy because his story was so convoluted and had some real details and some not real.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like he was trying to send him on a little bit of a wild goose chase.
Oh, sure.
And give
yeah.
himself time to like escape or be rescued
right.
or something.
Right. Makes
sense. That's what it looked like to me.
I like it. I like it.
Speculation station. Arthur Dudley was a spy.
Okay. Okay.
And his real name. I don't know.
Meanwhile, Robert Dudley was off, all wrapped up with some complicated history with the Dutch. And then he was named Lieutenant and Captain General of the Queen's Armies and Companies in 1588, when the Spanish Armada was threatening. Mm. But in September of that year, Robert Dudley died unexpectedly at the age of 55. Historians have alternately said that it might have been stomach cancer or malaria that killed him. Mm. Lettice Dudley, his wife, was devastated. And of course, his side piece, Queen Elizabeth I, was inconsolable. She actually locked herself in her room for several days until William Cecil had the door broken down.
Yikes.
Even though she never did marry him, historians said, including Susan Doran in her book, Elizabeth I and Her Circle, that he, quote, remained at the center of Elizabeth's emotional life, and that he was likely the one true love of Elizabeth's life. When Queen Elizabeth herself died, it was discovered that she had saved Robert's final handwritten letter to her. On the outside, she had written his last letter, and she kept it inside a silver casket by her bedside.
Aw, she really did love him.
She really did. But did she ever physically love him?
Did they
ever
bang?
Get it on? We're going to get into that sexy story right after this.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Welcome back to the show, everybody.
Okay, so is this a will they, won't they, never did, or is this a Monica Chandler secret sex situation?
Right.
Of course, we can't really know unless we go back in time and drill a peephole in the Queen's bedroom, which would be super creepy of us.
Right.
So we won't do it. But on her deathbed, according to EnglishHeritage.com, the Queen solemnly swore that, quote, though she loved him dearly, nothing unseemly had ever passed between them.
Okay.
And many scholars say that she was at most a shameless flirt, but really never did anything else. Really actually did stay a virgin her
yeah.
entire life.
Okay. All right.
But despite the total lack of evidence that she ever did anything sexual with anyone, there are tons of conspiracy theories about her illegitimate children with a variety of men. Some people thought that every time the queen did a progress, anytime she left the palace and went anywhere else, it was cover for her to have to give birth to some
wow.
other kid. So I was like, she's just littering children all over England for some people.
She couldn't walk out the door with people being like, oh, she's going to have another baby.
Having a baby.
Like, oh, she had one last week. Yeah, well, that's how much she's out there.
She's a really good baby maker. So there's just tons of, you know, theories about all these illegitimate children she had with a variety of men, including Robert Dudley, but also her stepfather and her son with her stepfather.
Oh,
okay.
What?
Hold on. What now?
Yeah. So first, let's talk about the stepfather. Remember, Queen Elizabeth's father is King Henry VIII.
That's right.
And when he died, Thomas Seymour, who was the brother of one of Henry's other wives and Elizabeth's stepmother, Jane Seymour, wrote to Elizabeth and asked her to marry him. And Elizabeth Tudor politely declined, saying that, oh, I'll be mourning my father for 2 years. And also, I'm only 13, so I'm probably too young for you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So a month later, Thomas married Catherine Parr, another one of Henry VIII's ex-wives, his sixth wife, They had been old flames, and they were actually planning to get married before King Henry VIII snatched her up.
Yeah, Catherine was like, I guess it's God's will that I marry the king or whatever.
Yeah, right. So Catherine Parr was close with her stepdaughter Elizabeth, and she invited the then 14-year-old girl to come live with her and Thomas. And then, according to testimonies from 1549 from Elizabeth's governess, Cat Ashley, a few days after Elizabeth got there, Thomas visited the girl in the early morning while she was still in her bed, and he would, quote, make as though he would come at her, and she would shrink back from him. And the next day, she woke up earlier to avoid being in bed when Thomas came by, but she was still in her nightgown, so he showed up bare-legged in his nightclothes and slapped Elizabeth on her butt. Another time, he actually climbed right into bed with Elizabeth. So she continued to wake up earlier and earlier each day to avoid him. And if she was already dressed, he would just say good morning and go on with his day.
Ooh.
Super creepy.
Very weird behavior.
Very weird behavior.
And Catherine Parr did not put a stop to any of this.
Okay. In
fact, she would sometimes tickle Elizabeth alongside Thomas Seymour. And one time she even held her down while Thomas cut a gown off her body, quote, in 100 pieces. It's not clear how she held her down, like if she was like, if it's like a friendly hug or if she's like holding her down like this forceful thing.
Right.
But it's something weird like that, where she's sort of participating with Thomas in this behavior. But then another time, she comes into this empty room where Thomas and Elizabeth are embracing in some way. I don't know if they were kissing or hugging or what, but they were in an embrace. And Catherine Parr was heavily pregnant at the time with Thomas's kid, and she became very furious at seeing him and Elizabeth together.
Okay.
After that, Elizabeth went to live somewhere else, and HistoryExtra.com says it's not clear if she was sent away or if she chose to leave. So now, with all of this story, some scholars think that Thomas Seymour was sexually harassing, if not abusing, Elizabeth.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And that it turned her off from sex forever. That
also,
that's what kind of made her go, fuck this.
Yeah, sounds like it. I would believe that.
But Smithsonian Magazine points out that there was no concept of adolescence in the 1500s, and that at 14 years old, Elizabeth would have been perceived as a grown woman, not just by other people, but also by herself.
Sure, okay.
She also did have some affection for Thomas. He apparently was an incredibly popular guy. Like, he was very charming and handsome. Everybody liked him. So it's been suggested that she did not mind his treatment, that she laughed it off, that she even liked it, or that she had a bit of a crush on him. I have a hard time with this sort of thing because I think women laugh when they're uncomfortable all the time as a way to kind of be like, oh, you, please stop.
Right,
you know, the fact that she had a crush on him, people said it because she would blush when his name was mentioned.
I mean,
which could mean she had a crush on him. It could mean that she was embarrassed to think about her stepfather coming into her room with his dick hanging out of his nightgown. I don't know. There's a lot of ways to interpret that.
Oof, uncomfortable. Yeah. And you, I mean, you heard many times women say, you know, how much easier it is to just kind of roll with it, even though you hate what's happening, than it is to try and protest or
stop. It's dangerous to say no.
Yeah. Well, Thomas's ambition ended up getting him killed.
That's right.
He was always trying to get the young King Edward to name him Lord Protector instead of Thomas's own older brother, the Duke of Somerset. And one night, Thomas tried to sneak into the king's room. And in the process, he woke up one of King Edward's pet spaniels who started barking. Thomas had with him either a pistol or a knife, and he used it to kill the dog.
Ooh.
So already he's like villain of the week.
Hate him.
But it was too late. The dog had woken up the king and his various attendants who were all like, what are you doing in the king's bedchambers with a weapon, pal?
Okay, pretty sus.
So the courtiers decided that he had planned to murder young King Edward and then marry his stepdaughter Elizabeth and put her on the throne. Now that is supposedly why they were asking Elizabeth's governess about her relationship with Thomas, because both of them, Thomas and Elizabeth, were under suspicion of conspiring together to kill King Edward. So that was when Cat Ashley gave them all these dirty stories about Thomas.
That's right.
And how he treated Elizabeth when she was young. But it's been said that Cat Ashley, this governess, was just trying to make Elizabeth look as innocent as possible with her testimony. So she might have overblown Thomas's inappropriate behavior.
Right, so it could make him look bad.
To make him look bad. So it could just be, you know, these stories that we're hearing about the creepy things he did were just that, like stories that were kind of inflated a little bit to sort of separate Elizabeth from his crimes.
I don't know. That's another thing where it's like, you're trying to throw dirt on a good man's name. Like, he just, yeah. It's impossible to know for sure.
Yeah.
But according to the Prince Tudor theory, Elizabeth did have an affair with her stepfather, Thomas Seymour, had a teen pregnancy, and gave birth to his child, who was then placed in John de Vere's home and grew up to become Edward de Vere, the 17th Earl of Oxford, who is purported to be the real Shakespeare.
This guy.
Who you played once.
I played Edward de Vere in a show. Yeah, right. We'll get into that in a second.
Yeah, so there are a ton of Shakespeare scholars out there who think there was no William Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. There's no one guy named William Shakespeare. That was actually just the pen name of one or more other guys, other authors. They posit that it could be Edward de Vere, who we're talking about right now. Also, Christopher Marlowe, Edmund Spenser, or Sir Francis Bacon, who was also supposedly the Queen's illegitimate son with Robert Dudley and the true heir to the throne. And the truth is all hidden within the plays and sonnets if you just read them, right?
We did a show with our theater company years back called Shake and Bake. And it was where we just mashed up a bunch of different Shakespeare characters and plot lines together to kind of do sort of this Shakespearean sketch show. And it was narrated by these four characters, Sir Francis Bacon, Edward de Vere, Christopher Marlowe, and this stoner version of a guy named Bill Shakespeare, whose name they were all using
to write their show. Just brought the weed.
Yeah, we did a bunch of research for that show that where we came up with those characters. And there's not a lot of sturdy evidence to support that any of them were the real Shakespeare.
No. And even crazier, the theory, the Prince Tudor theory, further says that Edward de Vere grew up to have an incestuous affair with his own mother, Queen Elizabeth, and that she gave birth to his kid, Henry Wriothesley, the 3rd Earl of Southampton.
Oh, wow.
Which would be a really gross thing for her to do. Well, as Eli said, there's just not much evidence for any of this, except for, again, just reading Shakespeare's works with a certain lens. Like, it's like, oh, he's wrote this play that takes place in this area, and there's these names in it that Sir Francis Bacon was also in that place and knew some of those people. So it must be really Sir Francis talking about his own life or whatever. There was one guy named Percy Allen who did confirm his findings, thank you very much, by using a medium to contact the spirits of Edward de Vere, Queen Elizabeth I, Sir Francis Bacon, and William Shakespeare, who all said that he totally nailed it and got it all completely right. But I'm so confused because if his whole thing is that there is no Shakespeare, so how did he contact the spirit of Shakespeare?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he's like, no, I contacted the stoner. And his name's William Shakespeare, but like, he's ain't no writer.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm William Shakespeare, but I never wrote a word a day in my life.
That's right. I don't even know how to read.
Yep. But Elizabeth's, to some inexplicable determination to remain a virgin, has led to so many insane theories,
God.
Some people believe that Elizabeth actually died as a child and was replaced by a young boy. And they didn't want the secret to get out, so this kid never married or had a love affair.
All right, listen. Like, King Henry VIII wouldn't have been like, we'll figure it out. We'll just figure it out. I need a son, so we'll figure it out. Put a boy in there. We'll just tell everybody we were wrong. There's no way.
Now, some people think that Elizabeth actually was having sex and leaving illegitimate children all around the nation, like we mentioned before. Mm-hmm. The poet Ben Jonson theorized that she had, quote, a membrana on her that made her incapable of having sex. So literally, like, her vagina was sealed up.
I'm sorry. He's like, I don't know. Speculation station, vagina dentata. Nobody has said this. But what if Queen Elizabeth's like, look, there's teeth down there.
This big chomping monster.
I can't be having.
Mind of its own.
King Philip's dick come off in my vagina.
They're like, I'm traveling to Japan for a steel dildo.
We'll
finally
fix this.
Break that demon's teeth. Well, most of the more down-to-earth theories simply point to her childhood, right? It's clear why she wouldn't want to get married and give up her power to a man when, you know, her dad was King Henry VIII. And there's all these beheadings. And, you know, she lost a grandmother and two stepmothers to childbirth as well. So she might have also just seen sex as too risky.
Right. So she's like, even if I didn't want to get married and just took a bunch of lovers, I don't want to get pregnant. I'm very scared to get pregnant. I could see that.
There's also, again, this sort of cult of personality that she built around this Virgin Queen title right from the very beginning of her reign, all the way until she died in 1603. So she might have just been working to maintain that image because it was working for her. She also knew that an heir could be used against her. Right. That happened with her as the center of plots quite a few times when she was so young,
like, look, she even said, the quote is something about, like, I know how a second person, as I have been, can be, you know, used against somebody.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I think that she just had a negative relationship with sex. She had a very confusing emotional relationship with Robert Dudley, and kind of, I wonder if, like, the way he kind of didn't want to marry for a while until he finally went with Lettuce. If, you know, if Queen Elizabeth just had a stronger version of that, of like, I don't want to get involved because I might get to marry Robert one day. You know,
I also wonder if she's seen so many women I don't know. I wonder if she's like, if I have sex, I might really like it. And that means I'll make bad decisions.
Oh.
You know, for men around me. Okay, and they'll end up turning on me. Because there's so many women who did, you know, were into King Henry and they did, you know, or any other men in the court. I'm sure it happened. There were tons of relationships happening all around her.
Yeah.
Mary, Queen of Scots, is a really great example because she married Henry and then didn't like him. And there was this whole scandal about it. She ends up getting executed ultimately. And that was because she was trying to rebel, but it still didn't help. Like the whole marriage thing did not help. So I think she just sees a lot of examples of this ain't working out.
Mm-hmm.
And I like being the Queen of England. So that's my goal, is to stay the Queen of England.
Yeah,
that's
she was
my
like,
whole thing.
She was like, country before cutsy.
All right, I want to see a beam of Queen Elizabeth's portrait.
If you say
country before cunt, see?
Yeah, if you say the C word with a British accent, it's okay, because it's not a big deal over there.
They love it over there.
In the US, this episode is now like NC-17. It's the worst thing we could say.
Well, I think, speculation station, I do believe that she remained a virgin. I think she had a ton of good reasons to not have sex or get married, and she definitely did not. And she just loved flirting and being thought of as very beautiful and messing with these men all the time, but never really wanted to pull the trigger. That's my feeling.
Okay.
I don't know about you.
Since we're in speculation station, I got to go with the demon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the demon in her vagina.
Yeah.
I like that. She had vagina dentata. She had to go get a steel dildo from Japan. But that's the problem.
Yeah.
Nobody ever got her a steel dildo from Japan.
Yeah. She's like, honestly, I'd rather have the demon. Maybe that demon was her best friend after
Maybe
Robert
it was.
Dudley. You know, he gave her some really good advice and helped her bring England into a brighter era. I don't know. Depends on who you ask.
I know, right?
I guess.
Okay, well, Robert Dudley and Queen Elizabeth are dead now in our story and also in real life.
Right, yes. last we heard.
There's still some loose ends to tie up.
Oh, sure.
Because first of all, I want to tell you about Lettice Knowles Dudley, the Countess of Leicester. Now, after Robert Dudley died, she was left well provided for because, again, good guy, right?
Yeah.
But less than a year later, she married his servant and friend, Sir Christopher Blount. Now, some people...
I'm sorry. Are you telling me that there was a Lettuce Blunt out there somewhere?
Lettuce Blunt!
Sign me up.
Love it. Now, people did not think much of her doing this, but Lettice said, you know, I'm just a defenseless widow. I got to have some man around.
Sure.
You know, that's how she felt. Okay, whatever. By all accounts, they had a pretty happy marriage, but I don't think they were having anything going on before Robert died or anything like that. I think she really loved Robert a lot.
Yeah.
But even though Robert is dead now, Queen Elizabeth still refused to speak to her or like forgive her or let her come back. Like she was just like, you're iced out still for life. However, Lettice's son from her first marriage, Robert Devereux, the second Earl of Essex, was Elizabeth's new favorite courtier. Even though they were 30 years apart in age, they flirted pretty shamelessly. And of course, people immediately had all the speculation that they were fucking too.
Oh, wow. Which Elizabeth probably loved.
Oh, she loved
to be
it.
Like, oh, boy, your son and I are getting along great.
Fantastically.
Oh, there's rumors that I'm sleeping with your son? Huh, how funny. Wow, she really went for this lady.
I know, right?
But whatever love Elizabeth had for young Robert Devereux, it didn't save him when he fell out of favor for his own secret marriage to Sir Francis Walsingham's daughter, or when he abandoned his military post without permission. He was disgraced, and then he got all sulky and decided to rebel against Elizabeth in 1601.
Stupid.
So she had him imprisoned. And Lettice stayed nearby, which might have been dumb because Elizabeth, of course, got really angry when she heard reports that Lettice and young Robert were waving to each other from their windows.
She wouldn't even let this lady wave at her son in prison.
At her own imprisoned son, yeah. So finally, both Robert Devereux and Sir Christopher Blunt were executed. So poor Lettice lost both her son and her third husband, or as she called him, quote, my best friend, on the same day.
Poor Lettice.
That is so petty of
I
Elizabeth.
I think so too. I was like, also, she's clearly got a really strong personality and a very strong will.
Yeah.
But I feel sorry for her. In
absolutely.
This story, she just gets short straw.
So poor Lettice, you know, she's left with no one now, but she did outlive every other character in this story, and she died at the ripe old age of 91, and then she was buried next to Robert Dudley with the epitaph that she commissioned reading, quote, the best and dearest of husbands.
Oh.
Oh, that's really nice. And who knew? 91? I thought lettuce wilted a lot faster than that. Well, she stayed crispy.
She stayed crispy, baby.
Uh-huh. She gave me that healthy crunch that every sandwich needs. I wish she'd married the Earl of Sandwich.
Oh, lettuce sandwich. That would have been amazing. All right. Now, finally, remember Robert Dudley's baby mama, Douglas Sheffield?
Oh, yeah.
We have not talked about her in a while.
Oh, yeah, Douglas.
But just as a quick refresher, she had married Sir Stafford back in 1579, and she and Robert Dudley had been totally cool co-parenting their kid, Sir Robert Dudley.
Right.
It was a no-drama situation. Until after the Queen died, and Sir Robert Dudley decided to sue to get his father's now-defunct Earls of Leicester and Warwick titles.
Ah.
Because since Sir Robert Dudley was illegitimate, he could not inherit them or the property that they came with. So he told the courts that Robert Dudley and Douglas Sheffield were secretly married in 1573,
oh,
which makes his marriage to Lettice and her subsequent inheritance of all his property upon his death null and void.
Oh, boy. So Douglas got into this. She sent a letter to the court detailing her supposed marriage to Robert Dudley. But she said the 10 plus witnesses to it were all dead and just weren't around to testify.
Coincidentally.
So sorry.
They all died.
She also, you know, she just couldn't remember the name of the officiant or the exact date of the ceremony. She just said it was, you know, in wintertime.
Oh, she's like, quote, it was the best day of my life, the most important day of my life when I married my love, Sir Robert, or Lord Robert Dudley.
Right.
On a someday by some guy, I
don't
know. I
want to say it was a Tuesday, and I remember it was cold.
It was the 10th, maybe the 11th, who knows?
October or November, something like that. She tried to explain her own bigamous marriage in 1579, because of course she was
she married somebody else too.
By saying that Robert was going to poison her.
Damn.
And she got married for her personal safety. So poor Robert Dudley here. He's dead and he's still getting accused of murder.
I mean, for real.
Right?
The guy. Oh, my God.
She also said that Robert offered her money and she initially refused. But then he got mad and said he could cut her off without a penny. So she decided, fine, I'll take the money.
Okay.
But, I mean, the court did not believe this story. And, I mean, do any of us believe this story?
I don't.
Robert Dudley is not that kind of guy, A.
I don't think he's, no.
And also, a lot of this evidence, I stretch to even call it evidence.
It's not evidence.
It's just a crazy story.
It seems to me like she's like, I can say anything I want about Robert Dudley and people will believe me.
Right.
I'm going to say he tried to poison me. They'll be like, sure he did, because he tried to poison all these other people. Like, why wouldn't they? You
right.
know what I mean?
She just
like,
jumped on that rumor mill about
yes,
him.
Yes, yeah. It really feels like that. Just a shameless cash grab.
True. Well, of course, Lettice won this case. Mm-hmm. And she walked out of the courtroom, probably bent down over Sir Robert's ear and said, I wish you well.
Oh, the goop of her time.
Classic. Oh, the goop of her time.
Lettice Knowles.
Lettuce goop.
Lettuce goop.
Well, let us get out of this episode,
I know,
am I right?
So yeah, that's the story. So that's the two-part story of Queen Elizabeth and her one true love, Robert Dudley.
Yeah.
And I will say, if Elizabeth really did love attention and fucking with people, which it seems she did, she really won at life. Because yeah, not many people can say that there are a bunch of scholars still trying to figure out if they got laid 400 plus years after they died.
That's true. We should all hope for such a future.
I hope people, yeah. In 2500, I hope they're still like, you know, I wonder what Diana's sex life is like.
Well, I'll have to be more specific in my journals, I suppose.
Oh, shit. All right. Yeah, that would help.
Yeah.
The scholars of tomorrow.
The scholars of tomorrow. Helping them today. Well, if they dig out this episode, they'll have a lot more information about Queen Elizabeth I. That's for sure.
We hope you enjoyed this episode.
Yeah.
I loved looking into it. It was so interesting.
Oh,
I don't know if
great.
I'm just feeling sorry for Robert Dudley because he's a possible ancestor of mine, but I'm over here thinking he has not been treated right.
He was a super cool guy. I'm glad to know that he was one of your ancestors because I mean, again, I think that a lot of the bad things people said about him were slander.
Yeah.
And
he's sure he had his flaws, like any man.
Sure, but he was supposed to be an excellent husband.
Right.
To the people who married him.
Stepfather.
A great stepfather.
Great dad of an illegitimate child.
A good friend to people who were friends with him. He was always very loyal.
Throwing parties.
Right.
Being fun.
And probably didn't poison any of his lovers.
Probably not.
And if he didn't, he's great. And if he did, you know, we'll reevaluate.
We'll think about that later. I also was thinking, I wonder if he didn't get a lot of respect because he's like, you know, the master of the horse. And then he did like parties. And then he was like basically like a butler.
Oh,
of
yeah,
the palace.
Sure. Right,
so they were
right.
Just like, oh, Robert, you know, he freaking deals with the queen.
Right.
And makes her happy. And he like does the parties. But we are the politicians.
Yeah.
We are doing the real work of running the country. You know what I mean?
Right. He's the custodian.
Even though like managing the queen must have been actually incredibly important.
Probably more difficult than managing, you know, international relations.
Oh, my God. And they would even write to him sometimes when he wasn't at court and be like, hey, hope you're coming back soon. The queen's real bored. We're all suffering. Please come back.
Amazing.
Distract her.
I love it.
The court wants your presence. So anyway, Robert Dudley partied. That's all I know.
Right. And thanks again to Daniel Fields for sending us the story about Elizabeth and Francois that we were able to include in here.
And my parents for suggesting this episode so they would finally have a reason to listen to our
podcast.
Oh,
yeah. Do you think your dad made it through to the end of episode 2?
I don't know.
Hey, Dad, if you're still there.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
We exonerated him. Did my duty by the family.
Right.
So yeah, let us know what you thought. We hope you enjoyed this story as much as we did.
Definitely.
And we always love hearing from you. So please reach out. Our email address is dickromance@gmail.com.
That's right. You can find us on Instagram. I'm at Oh Great. It's Eli.
I'm at Dynamite Boom.
And the show is at Ridic Romance.
And you are awesome.
Yes.
We really appreciate you for listening. And we can't wait to bring you another episode soon.
We'll catch you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So long, friends, it's time to go. Thanks for listening to our show. Tell your friends, neighbors, uncles, and aunts to listen to our show, Ridiculous Romance.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.